We started last week with Timothy's ministry, continuing verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, and we read that one, but there's another 3 or 4, 5, 6 verses here that goes along with what Paul was bringing back to Timothy's mind. And I'm going to read 14 to get us kind of acclimatized to what we're looking at here. And it was, and Timothy's ministry continues with wisdom and great knowledge, because his grandmother and his mother raised him from a babe. And God says from the time he was small that they had taught him. And then guess who he run into? He run into the Apostle Paul. Gee, man, was that a, well, was that a streak of luck, or was that, yeah, was that something that was, had been known and understood by the Godhead for a while? I think that's the way it worked out. So, 14 of chapter 3, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them." So that's what we finished with last week. And then we get into verse 15 for our study today. And I'll just go ahead and read that. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And I'll read you my notes. Now, that was the King James Version, verse 15. And this is study, by the way, this is study 214, I think. At least it is from what I can understand, but I may have messed up on some of these numbers of tapes, but that's kind of the way I am, as old as I'm getting. So, and it says in my notes, "And that from or since a child or babe," if you will, because in the Koine Greek, it's known as babe, "thou or you have known," and that's iota, and that means to know intuitively without effort to understand. Because when he was a babe, that's all he could do. He began to realize it was put there for a reason, and I guess he heard it enough to realize that he didn't have to put up a lot of effort to understand what his grandma and his mom was saying, because I wrote in my notes, it's just the way his mother and grandma had this ability. And certainly my grandmother had that ability, and my mother didn't, but my grandmother did when I went to live with her after her and dad had separated. And talks about the sacred scriptures, or basically these sacred letters that the Apostle Paul had penned to those which he wanted to stay in touch with and to share the words that they weren't there to hear him say in person, which are able and hear the words or the scripture. And the word scripture in the Greek is the word graphe. And that means able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith or belief. Which one you want to use there to get the understanding that this salvation through faith or belief, which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, this was being given to Paul for those that would hear it, and we have it in Holy Writ now, and so we're going to look at what it come out with the Koine Greek, and we're going to look at what Jack said about it in his Workman's Interlinear in verse 15. And go back again, and it says, and that from babe, or not from a babe, or just from babe, the sacred letter, you have known, these are able you to make wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then out of the more modern English, it says, and because that from a babe the sacred scriptures you have known, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, having looked at it, it's what the Koine said, and then looked at it again through the English, here's what Jack put in his notes. It says, Timothy had been brought up in the scriptures. These were, of course, the Hebrew scriptures. Now, his mother and grandmother, which are listed in the book of Acts, I can't tell you exactly which chapter,
but 16, maybe.
About 15 or 16, yeah. Somewhere in that.
Lois and Eunice.
His mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, were believers in the Word and the Christ of that Word. His learning from them in the Scriptures was cause for his wisdom. This wisdom, however, was spiritual. He had learned the salvation, that salvation was in Christ Jesus. Though there may have been great knowledge abounding in those days, they who had not learned this truth had not been wise to this salvation. And then there's a few verses of scripture that we need to look at to go along with this. We'll go ahead and do that. Because 16 and 17 kind of goes together. Because if you look at the structure there, you will get 3:14 through 4:2, it says Timothy's ministry. And then you got 14 and 15 is together. And then you got the spaces there, and then you got 16 and 17, which is together. And after you read 16, it sums it up in one little verse, which is beautiful.
Paul's usually is.
And so we're gonna look at it that way. So back to 15 there. And so let's look at the scripture that goes along with that. So we're going to go all the way back to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 7, and we're going to read 16 through 18 on Second Samuel 7, and that's on page. Let me get everything straight and really in. That's on page 417. So we're going way back. To 417, let's see what I've got here marked out. Yep, got 417. And we're going to look at 16 through 18 in the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel. 16, 18. Okay. And it says, and thine house, talking about David here, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever, before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. And it says, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? So he was getting some real instructions here. David was, without really knowing this, but God was giving him the, groundwork of why he was chosen and what he was chosen for, to do for the nation of Israel. Because David was going to take the place of Saul and be the second king of Israel for 40 years too, by the way, as it goes. Okay, so we got that one down. And then the next one, we go from 2 Samuel all the way over, back over to the book of Mark. Just before Luke, we get into the book of Mark, and we're going to look at what, let's see, Mark 9. Okay, I'm one page off of it, for two pages. Let me get the pages of my Bible straight now. We're going to look at Mark 9, and we're going to read from Mark 9, from 16 to 24. Yeah. So we're going to start on page 1403 and wind up in 1404. Mark 9:16. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pined away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, or cast the demon out of him, and they could not. And he, Christ, answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell to the ground, and he wallowed foaming. So the spirit knew that he was in trouble, but he was going to get his lick while he could, okay? 21, and he said, and he asked his father, How long ago is it since this came upon him? And he said, Of a child. Verse 22, And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine belief. Now there's more to the story, but here they were, the man, the child, and Christ, and the demon.
All four of them.
Yeah, and so this was going to benefit three out of the four. And guess who got the short end of the stick? It was the demon. Because that's what Christ had come to do. Because that was to show the power and the will and the benefit that the Son of God had toward created beings. And this created beings was wreaking havoc upon this man and his child. And their house, I suppose, too. It would be something to think about, too. This kind of a child in a house that you had to watch him all the time in order not to lose him early. Okay. So let's go to the next one. The next one, let's see, that was Mark. Now we want to go to the third chapter of John. And, you know, one of the first things I learned from my grandma was to learn John 3:16. Well, we're going to start a little earlier here. We're going to go to the 9th verse of John, which is on page, John 3, which is on page 1518, if you have a companion Bible. And see what Nicodemus said to Christ. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How could this thing be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you a teacher?"
I always lived there.
Of Israel. And you don't know that? You don't know what I'm talking about? And he said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of the heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm going to stop at 16. I'm not going to read 17 because that goes with the next two verses of Scripture. I'm going to pick it up again because I got another note. I got another note here marked in place in the Bible. So I know if we get that far, we're going to do that. Okay. Now, that was John. Okay. We're going to go from John to Acts 4. And in Acts 4, we're going to read 10 through 14 on page 1584 if you have a companion Bible. Acts 4, 10 through 14. Acts 4, 10. "Be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." Full stop. Salvation, there's no other way to get it but through the Son of God. "For there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And to that point, they were tongue-tied. They had seen the miracle that was had been offered, had been used there, and they couldn't dispute it, not one word. Truth and living beings. Okay? Now, let's go to Ephesians 2. From Acts to Ephesians. And in Ephesians 2, I've got two more markers, so I know that one's for this and one's for the next verse. I mean, for the next verse that we're going to read and study. This one is from Ephesians. We're going to read through 4 through 10 on page 1762. We're going to look at 2, 4 through 10. We're going to wind up with the last verse on the next page, but that's all right. 4 through 10. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." It says, in parentheses, "by grace ye are saved." Amen. There's no other way.
Amen.
"And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith." By grace are you saved through faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Full stop. Think about that for a minute. God is very great toward awarding gifts, and this is a great gift that we have. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, how come is that in there? Well, to the Jewish people, their hope, a lot of it, was works. Because they were in the law to begin with, and that law was to show them the hope that was available to them from them. It says, "For we are his workmanship." Okay? "Created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Okay, I'll leave that other thing there because I got to go back to it in a little bit. Okay, let's see. 1 Timothy 4:4. Okay, we're going to go to 1 Timothy 4:4. And that's on page 1804, and it's the first verse of Scripture. On 1 Timothy 4:4, the fourth verse is the first verse in this chapter. And it says, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ, or Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." He says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." He says, "For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Okay, 1 Timothy. 2 Peter. Okay, we got one more to go to. We're going to 2 Peter. And that is on page 1865, so I'll have to go down on down the line. Went a little too far. Okay, 1 Peter, got there. And we're going to read through 14 through 17 on page 1865. 14 through 17 on 1 Peter chapter 1. 14 says this, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be also may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him to him from the excellency glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the Holy Mount. So that was Peter speaking and talking about his demise and what he had seen and what he had dealt with up to that point. Just like Paul is doing with Timothy in his, from the time that he was struck down on the Damascus Road up until the point of writing this letter that we are reading this last letter. Okay, that's 15. Now, we got to get a little bit of reading to do. 16 and 17, yeah, we got time. Surely. And this, that was the two verses there talking about Timothy's ministry. And we got two verses here talking about 16 and 17. And there's a lot in 16. 16 is a very pregnant verse. And he sums it up in 17. So we're going to read 16 and 17 together. And then we'll read the notes and go on from there. 16 says, all scripture, all this passagraphe is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And that's a full stop. But why do you say, Cecil, that 17 goes with 16? Because what he has just said there and I'll put in there in this notes because it says The only notes that you have in verse 17 says this is God's divinely fitted man. If you go back and you look at 16 and go through that, then you will see. But I'm going to read 17 the way it's the way it's in the King James Version, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But here God has given us a picture of the perfectly fitted man of God, that if you follow this instruction, you'll have all the tools in your toolbox that you need to work with concerning the Word of God.
Now, see, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but after understanding the scriptures that are given that are profitable for all these things, the man of God can be perfect and be furnished unto the good works.
The things,
it's not about the works, but the works come about as a result of what Christ
did. The things that man needs to convey to other men, that were those things of God that can be had. Okay. I'm going to read you my note. All scripture that passagraphe is given by inspiration of God. It's God in breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching what is true. Not a lie. There's not, there need not be a lie in this, because there is no lie in God. He doesn't lie. And truth is what he's looking for. And then for reproof. And that's correcting of that or what is false. And it's for correction, and the word is in the Greek is eleinchos, and it means man's wrong. Because if you getting into the words of God and God breathed, it needs to be the words that you can find in the scripture, and nothing else needs to be added to it. And you need to watch out the adding to, because sometimes the adding to gets you way away from where you need to be. Because when he started this, and I said it last week, said it last time in our study, that Paul was telling Timothy, he says, you've learned what you've learned now from three people, from your grandmother and your mother and me. This is your roadmap. When I'm gone, when I'm done, this is your roadmap. This is where what you need to stay on to complete your life in the Word of God. To stay on that roadmap. Stay on what you've heard, what you know, and how about it. And for the reason for all this. Okay. Correcting what is false, profitable for doctrine. Teaching what is true for reproof, correcting what is false, for correction, man's wrongs, for instructions of what is right. And all this is done in righteousness, full stop. And then in respect, this is in respect unto God's perfectly fitted man. This, Timothy, you're going to be my perfectly fitted man. This is what God has given me to remind reminded you of to tell you, and that's the reason why it's in this letter. Okay. Now, let's read what Jack said, and there's a little bit of that, too. So we're going to look at 16. 16, out of the corner. Every writing breathed God. Every writing breathed God and profitable toward teaching, toward conviction, toward correction, toward discipline, which in righteousness. So you see how it's laid out one way, but you go back to the original Koine Greek that they was using in those days. It looks a little different, but basically it's done that way. But the guys that come and did the Companion Bible, they kind of got a picture of it too in structure. Because they made a list of one side, a list on the other side, and this is the way this is the way we find it there. Every writing breathed God is even profitable toward teaching, toward conviction, towards corrections, towards discipline, which is in righteousness. Okay. And then we're going to go to 17 and see what Jack has said. We're going to go ahead and finish reading Jack's notes and say in 16. Every writing breathed God. This is also a quote of God himself. Every writing that he breathed to be the blessed word is profitable toward teaching. Sixth teacher of the Ephesians, the 4:11, calling has no other direct source of truth that the word than the word of God. All truth must correlate with his word. Otherwise, it's not truth. What you receive of the word, accept. Other words weigh in the scales of the word. Other words weigh in the scales of the word. That is powerful. The word has power to convict the heart of man. Jeremiah 17:9, Hebrews 4. Who can correct unequivocally? The word himself, or our head, there is none who can discipline in righteousness as he, our head, can. Books are written on this topic, and rightly so. Many portions of his precious words deserve reams to be written into the praise of our precious Savior and Word. And then he gives some of them here. We're going to read as many as we have time to. And then verse 17 says, out of the Koine Greek, that complete may be the of the God-man toward every work good, fully fitted. And he got notes on 17 also. He says, how God wants his people to be filled to the fullest, Ephesians 1:23. He would have us fully ready in every way for the fullest of living to his glory. We are to be the complete man, whether it be male or female, unto his praise. Should we then be fully aware of his provisions for such? The word provides the needs for our work. And he wants his people to be fully fitted. Anything less is prescription for mediocrity. And then there's even more scripture here that he wants us to look at. So I just added it all together, and I said, well, we'll go as far as we can. and look like we got maybe enough to do this. So here we go. So we're going to get the three verses in if possible. And so we'll get back to the perfectly fitted man and kind of get this description going here. And we want to go all the way back to Deuteronomy 8, 4 through 6. That's on page 250 if you have a companion Bible. Page 250 if you got a companion Bible. Deuteronomy 8, 4. I didn't go back far enough. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Deuteronomy 8, 4 through 6. And it goes back to a time when they were on the 40-year march. And it says this, "Thy raiment, or your clothing, wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Verse 6 says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And boy, they didn't do that. Because the many that left, I think very few of the many came out. But the rest of them were young people. They were people that could fight.
Very well.
And they took up the will of God to fight for the right. Okay, from Deuteronomy, we want to jump over to Proverbs. Well, first off, let's go to Job first. And then we'll go back to Proverbs because I got one ahead of the other. And I usually get them lined up, but here we go into Job. And let's see, Job 5 wanted us to do this. Look at 17 through 19. That's on page 672, Job 5. And there's only, I think, two verses there. 17, 18, and 19. 17 starts on 672, and the other two verses is on the next page. You don't even have to turn the page. 17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now 18 is on that same page. And then 19 is on the next page. And 18, for he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. So, along with the chasteness comes a word of encouragement too. So, he don't leave you crying. He likes to bring some joy at the end of the chastening. So, this shows that God's himself is very tender-hearted. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs because I had in my notes Proverbs 2nd, but we'll say, Cecil, you messed up. So we're going to look at Proverbs 8. Look at verse 8 through 11. That's on page 874. Proverbs 8, 8 through 11. In Proverbs 8, well, I'll just start with 7. It says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instructions," he says, "and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Okay, that's the first one of Proverbs. The next one is in Proverbs 10. So we don't have to... I may not have marked it out, but I thought I did. If I did, I did it with a little bitty marker. In Proverbs 10, where I did or didn't, I found it anyway. 15 through 18. Okay, it starts on 877. Proverbs 10, 15 through 18 on page, starts on page 877 and goes a little bit on to 878. Okay. Let's see, Proverbs 8 through 11. 10, 8 through 11. It says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. But a prating fool shall fall." Let's see, did I get all of that one? 15, no, I didn't.
You want a letter?
"The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Okay. Now, the next one is, there was three of them, no. There was Job was the next one. So I want to go from there to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, that's on page 917. I don't know why I didn't write that down either. I must have went to sleep long about there too. It was back before Isaiah, don't it? Here we go. Now, I had it, I just Okay. Ecclesiastes 10, chapter 10, 6 through 12. Part of it's on one page, part of it's 9:17, 9:18. Six, start with six. Folly is set in great dignity. Sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And who breaketh a hedge and hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Verse 9. Who removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment. The gambler is no better. The words of a wise man are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. In Ecclesiastes. Okay. That was the only one there in Ecclesiastes. Now we go to Jeremiah 17. And that's page 1041. Jeremiah 17, okay. I come up pretty short in this. I'm going to have to lay this Bible aside and get that other. These pages are sticking together. Jeremiah 17.
High static.
9 through 13. And that's on page 1041. We're going to read 9 through 13. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even the to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, as the pottage. Hang on just a minute. As the pottage sitteth on eggs and hatched them not, and so that he getteth riches and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Twelve and 13. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. We ain't going to get to the rest of it, but let's go back to the book of John. And I know I've got this one because I see it sticking out from the edge of the pages. In John 3, we stopped It's 16 last time. And so we're going to pick up 17. And we're going to read through 20. You're going to read 17 again. Go down to 20 on page 15, 19. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Okay, there's several more, but we'll stop there. A little over time already, and but it goes on and on to talk about the well-fitted man, the man that is fully fitted to do that God would have him to do while he's here on this earth. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy in his letter to Timothy. That you need to stay on the path that I've put you on, boy. You need to finish your life just that way. To be fully fitted to do that God would have you to do. And I think this is what the whole book is about. So we could read the whole book and get that from the whole book. But nevertheless, you know, Jack had put these things in here that we should go back and look at some of those things that he had put in his book in order to say, you know, I give you what I understand this to be.
And a good job he did.
And he surely did. So it's been a great work, and we're getting close to the end of that. So remember that how much time and all that he put into this. And he says, you know, if it's not of God, it's not going to do the work that you expect it to do.
Amen.
Thank you.